Good morning, church family. It is another beautiful day in San Diego. And we welcome each of you and our visitors. We are never, ever prepared to say goodbye to anyone. And this past week, our dear friend and the grandmother and the mother of many in this congregation, Jean Knittle, passed away. And that comes as a shock. And I was thinking and reflecting on that, all week, and ever since I heard the news. And I thought, you know, as Christians, we are no different than anyone else, in that we experience loss, and we are also subject to suffering, to death. And like the great, well, I would say infamous, existentialist Jean-Paul Sartre, he said, "I've looked at life, and I've looked around me, and it makes me sick." Another humanist atheist puts it this way: man has always fought over religion and over God. What we need to do to make our life better on this planet, we must learn to tap into the God that is within us. Without discovering that God in us, there is no hope for humanity. Well, I'll tell you something. We as Christians have a great hope. We have the hope that Paul, throughout his writings, the word hope means the soon return and the resurrection when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. You can't get away from it. Every time Paul talks about the gospel, whenever he talks about the plan of salvation, he's always constantly using the word hope. And so this morning, our hearts are heavy as we are saddened by the loss of Jean Knittle. She has left just a little bit of herself with each of us. Those of us that have known her for a long time, we know her as someone who was very encouraging and someone who cared, especially for our little ones. And some of you that knew her when you were little are now older. And she's more like a grandma or a mother to many of you. I know that. You've said that. You've mentioned that to me this morning. For me, she was an encourager. Encourager. Her life was not easy, but she seemed to be able to dig down deep into her love and her relationship with Jesus Christ, and to bring out the positive and to show that in the words that she spoke and the love that she had for others. I'd like for us this morning in our study to turn to the book of Romans. Whenever I think of family or friends falling asleep in Jesus, I'm also reminded of what Paul talks about here in Romans, the 5th chapter. If you turn with me or to your Bibles. And he begins by saying, "Therefore, since we have been justified through," what? "Through faith." We have been justified. Now, I like the tense there because it's a past tense. It's not a future tense. It's not a tense that hangs on us, but it hangs on the death of Jesus Christ. So since we have been justified through faith, we have peace then with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have gained access, there it is again, by faith, we have gained access into His grace, in which we now stand. And I'd like to even, well, there, which we now live. And we rejoice in, and here it is, there's the word. Paul just laid out the gospel for us, but now he's reminding us that hope, okay? We can rejoice in hope. Even when we're sad, even when we're in hardship, even when we lose our loved ones, even when we are in sorrow, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then he goes on to talk about, you know, the rejoicing and suffering and perseverance, because it builds character. And then again he says, verse 5, and hope. There's the word again, and hope. By the way, I was just talking to my sister on the phone on the way down here this morning, and we were actually talking. She brought up this whole concept of hope. Whenever Paul once again uses the word hope, what he's talking about is the advent. Okay? And those who believe in the advent, the coming of Christ. Because he, as he said himself, I am the resurrection. I am the life. When Jesus comes to this earth to take us home, he comes with the power of the resurrection. He comes with the power to give and bestow eternal life to those who choose. In fact, I'm reminded to just go back a couple pages in Romans. And in Romans chapter 4, and it says, what does the scripture say about Abraham? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as what? As righteousness. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so this hope that we have, this hope that we can hang our lives on, is a hope based on the gospel. It's based on the fact that by grace, okay, God offers us His grace. And the face of grace is Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And it's by faith in Jesus that we have any hope. And of course, He didn't stay in the tomb, did He? He came forth from the tomb. And because He was victorious over sin and over death, He then is the only one that can offer us hope. I love the word hope. In fact, the older I get, the more it means to me. Okay? And I like this too, because in verse 5 it says, and hope does not disappoint us. Okay? And I put in my notes here that the idea that hope does not disappoint us means that as humans we know there's not a whole lot that we can count on. There's not a whole lot in this life that we go through that we can say, well, you know, I'm for sure I know that that's going to happen, or that person is, you know, we deal with this all the time in the life that we go through. But the one thing that we can be sure of and we can be confident of is the coming of our Lord, the hope of the second coming, because it is based on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's a done deal. That's a fact. That's a past tense. Okay? And that's what Paul is reminding the book, or the people that he's writing this letter to, which of course was not only the church in Rome, but the church here in Point Loma, the family here in Point Loma. And so we are not disappointed, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. You see the importance of the relationship and the communication and the communion that we have in the Holy Spirit? Because it's through the power, it's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we are reminded that we have, first of all, salvation through Jesus Christ, but that Jesus also rose from the dead. Therefore, there is that hope. So that hope is not based on just a word. It's not based on theology. It's based on the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's nothing stronger than that. Jesus overcame Satan. He overcame the powers of this world. He overcame the grave and death, and He broke forth victorious over that. Man, folks, there's nothing else. There's nothing else There's nothing more significant that's ever happened on the face of this earth than the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus broke the bonds of death and sin and darkness, the grave where all of us, like the old man said, none of us get out of this world alive. And it's true. We all are going to face that at some point if the Lord doesn't come soon. And by the way, the song we sang, thanks team, Come Lord Jesus Come, has a special ring to it this morning, doesn't it? This is not fable. This is not tradition. This is not folklore. This is not theology. This is factual. This is based on the life of Jesus and the resurrection of our Lord. Place your faith and your hope in that. Wow. And so the voices that we hear in the secular world around us, the voices we hear of atheists and humanists and existentialists and philosophers and all these people who decry the condition of this world. It's true. We live in a world. There's no joking. This world is a place that is not very pleasant to live in. However, the fact is, the way, the only way that anything will ever change is when Jesus comes. So what do we do now between now and then? And when is then? We don't know. We have no idea when the Lord is coming. The disciples, they believed that Jesus was going to come in their lifetime. My great-grandfather believed that. So did my grandfather. So did my father. One of the last words my father said to my mother was a quote out of Revelation. The Spirit says, come. Those are the last words he said. Come. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. Today, Jean is resting in Jesus. She is asleep, by the words of Jesus himself. She sleeps. She's asleep. So the question is then, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? How do we walk through this life? How do we make our way through the world that we live in? Well, if we look at what Paul has to say here, he says that hope that we have is poured into our hearts. That God has poured out His love into our hearts. Could have said a lot of other things. Could have said, well, God pours out His law. God pours out whatever. But he says God pours out His love into our hearts. Beautiful, beautiful love. The old song we used to sing, the love of God, how rich and pure. The pure love of God is poured out. And how is it poured out into our hearts? It's poured out by the Holy Spirit. You see the connection, the importance? It's the Spirit that pours out the true, genuine, divine, the real thing into our hearts. Because you know, it isn't natural for us. It's just not natural for us. And believe me, there are times when we absolutely have a hard time loving someone. But it's only by the grace of God, and it's only recognizing our condition and knowing that it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can have that love, the love of God in our hearts, then we can share that love with others. We can become a vessel that pours that love out into the world. And here he reminds us again in verse 6. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the righteous. Is that what it says? Christ died for the ungodly. And maybe you're saying, well, that's not me. I guess that text isn't for me. Well, Paul claimed it. Paul wrote it. Once again, the only righteousness we have comes to us from Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness that covers us. It's His blood, His death, His resurrection. It's only through Christ that we have hope. It's only through Christ that we can be accounted righteous. I like the text that we just read about Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Believe God. Having faith in God. And all the things that we are, all the uncleanliness, the like Paul says, the filthy rags, becomes righteousness. Because it's Christ's righteousness. At just the right time. By the way, have you ever thought about that, at just the right time? Was there a point in your life where you knew that was the time you needed Jesus? At just the right time? Because, you know, He died for all of us, individually. Even if there was only one person that needed the blood of Jesus, He would have died for that person. But He died for each of us individually, so that we would have hope of eternal life. Wow. And Paul goes on to talk about, well, you know, even somebody might even die for someone who was good or somebody who was righteous. But to die for an unrighteous person, to die for someone who was a sinner, that's only by the act of God and His grace. Verse 8. But God demonstrated, and here's the word again, God demonstrated. You see what God was trying to demonstrate through the plan of salvation? He's trying to demonstrate for us His love for us. He loves us. Dearly loves us. Oh, wow. And once again, there He goes. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we were unrighteous, we were sinners, but Christ died for us. That doesn't quite add up, does it, in our own minds? Unrighteous sinners. Where should an unrighteous sinner go? Certainly not to heaven. But it's only by Christ Jesus that we have, that we can claim eternal life. Unrighteous plus sinners plus Christ and His righteousness equals hope, equals eternal life. One of the things that I felt over the years in my friendship with Jean Knittle was she was learning at her age. She was learning to understand more clearly the gospel. And every time a light would go on, she would give me the call on the phone, or she would stop me after church or just talk to me briefly and ask me, you know what, I just read this and here's what it says, you know. And I would go, did you read it from the Word? And she goes, yes, well, then it's true. She was, even at her age, she was growing in Christ. Okay? She didn't ever walk on water that I know of. But by faith, by believing in Jesus, it was accounted to her as righteousness. And the hope that stems from that equation, the hope that comes from that is the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The ending here, the Apostle Paul once again reminds his readers, and you know, it's almost like the ringing of a bell. Paul can't open his mouth, he can't write anything down without reiterating and reinforcing the gospel over and over and over. And I think to myself, well, why does he say it so many times? He's already said it once at the beginning of the chapter or the beginning of the book, but why is he saying it again? And of course, over time, I've realized it's because we have thick heads. And he understood that people need to hear it over and over and over, because by nature, we slide towards, well, I'll do it my way, thank you, God. And he's saying, listen, the only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll keep preaching it to the day I die. And he did. He did. But he brings it back around for another ring of the bell, verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. You see, when Adam and Eve turned against God, when they refused to believe God, it set the whole world in a spin. And ever since then, we've been in rebellion against God. But when we receive through grace, we receive Jesus, we believe and we follow him, and we accept his forgiveness through his blood, when we accept his righteousness that only he can give to us as a gift. A beautiful thing happens. Where we were once separated, now we are reconciled. Where we once were separated from God, we are now in a relationship with God, a saving relationship. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That's good news. There's nothing better. There's no better news. And, you know, as they used to say, and the rest of the story. Well, folks, there is no rest of the story. The rest of the story is Christ coming and taking us home, taking us back to live eternally with him. We have this hope. I remember the song was written back in when I was probably about 7 years old. It was sung at the great Cow Palace there in San Francisco or Oakland, wherever the Cow Palace is. I can't remember. Anyway, and I remember thousands and thousands, ten thousands of people singing that song. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of our Lord. Do you have that hope? Do you? I know Jean had it. I know she had it. She lived it. I look at our little ones. I see them out there. And I think, wow, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Take us home. So those little ones can have fun running around in the beautiful hillsides and the mountains and the beautiful crystal sea and enjoy the beauty of heaven. I look forward to that. I look forward to the day when all of us can realize and be a part of that beautiful promise of eternal life in heaven. Live with Jesus for eternity. Can't think of a better way to live than to live with Christ in eternity. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you so much for the encouragement of the Apostle Paul and his love for you and for those who he worked with and worked for. We thank you for making it possible for us to claim eternal life, to have this hope, this great hope that lies in the completion of the plan of salvation, the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven to take us home through eternity. Be with each of us as we walk through this life. May we walk the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in our hearts. And be with our little ones, Lord. Give us wisdom, give us counsel, give us the words to best describe to them and to help them to better know you. We pray these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen.